You are listening to Fanthatracks.
He's waiting.
Classic Star Wars and the collectibles they gave us. From vintage Star Wars to the modern era of the saga. This is Collecting Tracks. Here are your hosts, Richard Hutchinson and Chris Leddy.
You're listening to Collecting Tracks. I'm your host for this episode, Mark Newbold. And joining me today are Jing Hall and Chris Reif from Hasbro to discuss, on a round table, their latest releases and much, much more. So here's myself, Chris, Jing, and some fellow Star Wars collecting sites discussing Hasbro's output.
We love to talk Star Wars, so it's a great opportunity to sit down and just talk Star Wars. So we're just going to do a quick round of intros. I'm sure you know, definitely know Chris, but my name is Jing. I work on the marketing side for Star Wars.
And Chris from design.
We'll dive right in so we can get through as many questions as possible. And again, I appreciate everyone for joining in. So Laughing Place, Mike.
So I guess we'll start off. I wonder if you could just go through the most popular items from the Star Wars line for the holiday season. Which items have been received the best? Which items are selling the best? And which do you personally wish to highlight that are available right now?
Wow, Mike. giving us the floor to talk about all the thank you so much. So yeah, I mean, there's so many great figures that are like hitting shelves right about now. Like the N1, for example, was pre-ordered a while ago, but it's hitting shelves now. It's an amazing vehicle. I think the fan community knows about that well. Chris designed it, and I love that. I love the mini Grogu in there with his shift knob. It's just so cute.
Glass,
tappy,
yeah.
So cute. You know, we've also had Ahsoka. The Ahsoka show just wrapped up, as you know, on Disney Plus, and we have great figures tied to that entertainment. So that's on shelf now. And then for us, another item that like really hit was the Starkiller. That was also an amazing figure for Black Series from gaming as well. So that was a great one to have out there. And of course, like, you know, I like to highlight it because I think they're so fun. But the holiday figures are just great stocking stuffers for this time of year. They're so fun. They're whimsical. They're a great way to celebrate and get into the season for it. And Eric does such a great job just like letting his creativity spew out onto those figures.
Yeah, there's so one of them right one. There on my shelf behind me.
He's an elf on the shelf, just like
yeah, the gingerbread trooper. Yeah,
right there. But yeah, thank you for asking. I think that's a great question.
Thank you.
Plus all right. The great Gift the Galaxy stuff that just announced today.
Yeah, for pre-order. There's some that are dropping for pre-order today. Tomorrow, pre-order tomorrow, revealing today. So definitely check those out as well. Adventures in Collecting. Eric.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. So the release of the Life Day Chewbacca in the Vintage Collection was something that that I think the community never thought would ever be possible. How did the official recognition of that holiday special kind of come to the table? And, you know, if you could just kind of tell us how that toy kind of came into existence.
Well, I would say the principal driver on that one was the parks. Like now that we have Galaxy's Edge and there is a Life Day celebration that happens in the parks. That was probably the final push. But it's been in books and comics and parks for a while. So working on that figure with the whole Disney team and folks at Lucasfilm to really support that holiday. And like, it was very fun. Like talking about the nuances of what that little ball is that Chewbacca carries around is, That was a fun couple days. So yeah, I'm glad everybody loves that. We hope we can do more fun things like that for you guys in the future.
Yeah, hopefully we get a bartender B. Arthur next.
Would you put B. Arthur over Lumpy and Itchy? And or
1,000%. 1,000 okay. 1,000%.
Yeah, that was a fun partnership with Lucasfilm. All right. Star Wars collector, Dan.
We're glad to finally see some new Black Series 6-inch Phantom Menace figures, but fans had a concern with the prototype photos of Padme at Amidala. She looks extremely angry. Is this her final look, or did you change anything before production started?
No. Actually, I have one sitting on my desk of her more final look. We were just shooting photos, updated photos of her. That first one was a very early prototype, just to get some early reveal photos for you guys. But I can kind of show you here. She's much better. It's just more subtle and really, really nails the likeness. Super happy with how this one's turned out. So we'll have better photos of that for you guys. But that was just a case of trying to get info out as fast as we can for you guys. And sometimes that's with early or in progress things. So
cool. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Crazy. Just she's sitting here because I was looking at her earlier. So
thank you.
Yeah, Chris just like has like a deep bag of things to reference. He's just like, oh, that one right there, the holiday figure right there. So, but thanks for asking that question. Hopefully we'll get some of those images up.
Hi, this is David W. Collins, voice actor for Star Wars and sound designer at Skywalker Sound. You are listening to FantaTrax.
FantaTrax, Mark.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Obviously, next year looks like it's going to be fairly quiet comparatively on Disney Plus. So as a knock-on effect of that, does that give you more open slots to work on classic figures, bringing in figures from shows that have been around for longer? My question is really, is that a good thing for you or is that a bad thing for you? Does it give you the chance to clear the boards on things you might have had hanging around for a while, or would you rather be forging ahead with brand new content?
I mean, both. We want to do both. There's always so much to do. I will say, lucky for us that there's just so much in Star Wars for us to get out and get into and deep dive. Like, just there's just so much. We have like, you know, a great partnership with Lucasfilm and so much entertainment and like great fan feedback as well on items that they want to see. So it'll be fun to see what we're spending our time on and revealing in the next couple months for sure. And definitely stay tuned. But yeah, I think, you know, lucky for us, there's been some great entertainment from Lucasfilm thus far as well. And we'll continue to put out items that fans hopefully would love to see.
Yeah. And we were talking about this too, where it's like, I mean, think about back in the day when all we had were movies and how much time there was between movies and how that just felt normal. And now everybody starts to worry about 3 months without new shows. Like, that's a magical time to live in when that's the kind of mindset we're in. So I think it will be fun, like Jing said, for you guys to see what we've got cooking.
All right. That was round one. So we're going to go back to the front, to the top laughing place, Mike.
Okay. So you mentioned Gift the Galaxy at the end of my last question. And I was wondering how you guys go about coordinating with Lucasfilm and Disney products on this campaign and how it helps you get the word out about the new toys.
Yeah, so I mean, it's great to have StarWars.com definitely take the lead in pulling together all these giftable toys and holiday items for the fans in your lives and for you guys as well. And so we actually have some reveals this morning from Gift the Galaxy. It's just a great time to get that news out in partnership with Lucasfilm. And it's relevant and skiftable, and it's a good conversation to have during this time, especially. And Hasbro luckily gets to be a part of that. We've had three reveals just this morning, just like an hour ago. So we love to have fans, take a look. And there's just more information to come in general about like everything that we're revealing across the board. But it was good to work with Lucasfilm on Gift the Galaxy for this holiday season. So definitely check out StarWars.com. If you guys haven't seen what we have cooking, it's a lot of prequel stuff in celebration of the anniversary next year that we're celebrating, as everyone knows. Moving on, Adventures in Collecting.
All right. So, a figure that's seen quite a few releases, both across the Vintage Collection and the Black Series, being, the Mandalorian himself, Din Djarin. The past few releases for the Vintage Collection, he's kind of featured those old style hips. Was just curious that if there's any intention to, kind of get him that updated new articulation that we're seeing on a lot of the new Vintage Collection figures.
Yeah, it's a good idea. We certainly heard the request, and and it is in our heads for future versions of him. Nothing to talk about right now, but yeah, it's in our heads. So,
and if I could just kind of follow up on that, just sure. A second with kind of those articulation changes. When do you guys kind of start to plan that in the pipeline? Cause like, you know, those new hips have now been out for quite a bit, and there's been a few Dindajaran releases since then. Like when do you gauge it's the right time to kind of update that part of the figure?
A lot of that would be about what's needed for the figure that's coming. I mean, like when we did the Razor Crest as an example, on the Mandalorian figure that we had done to that point, he had a plastic cape, so it was hard for him to sit down. So in that case, it made sense to go with a soft goods cape, and that was an update. Articulation's much the same way. If he would need that sort of update for that figure specifically, or if the like we've done those hips for somebody that works with him, and then we're bringing out a new release of him, like those sort of things would come into play. So it varies a little bit, but a lot of it's driven by whether it's needed for the release, because we don't want to spend that money unnecessarily. And I say unnecessarily, casually, like it's, and it would be great to update every figure with all the articulations that we've developed over the years, but it's just not practical. So trying to find the right time to bring those in.
Star Wars collector, Dan.
The Fan Channel Black Series Darth Sidious pipeline reveal, is it going to be a single figure or a deluxe set, like the Amazon set with the deluxe Emperor Palpatine and throne? And if it is a deluxe set, is it going to include a chair or throne or interchangeable heads?
It's just a single figure release for that, okay. That particular
for that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
You, Fanthatrax, Mark.
HasLab question, hopefully not too contentious. You've had great success with the vintage HasLab releases. They've gone great guns and continue to do so. Black Series, maybe not so much. So internally, if as much as you can say, do you want to push on and hopefully make Black Series and HasLab work better together? Or do you think maybe HasLab and Vintage Collection are the perfect partnership for these two things?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been so lucky where the community really rallied behind the Vintage Collection HasLabs that we've done recently. And it's great to see, and it's great feedback and great info and great history for us to go into. That being said, like, we know there's definitely passionate fans out there in the Black Series community as well. It's just a balance of finding the right product at the right time, the right offering for the fan community. So, you know, nothing is off the table, I would say. We definitely want to cater to both communities as much as possible. So let us know in terms of what makes sense for everyone, and we'll definitely keep that in mind. But by no means is Black Series just always off the table. We know that right. There's lots of fans out there for Black Series, and we know there was lots of passions for the HasLabs that we did do in Black Series, for example. So we just need to make sure that it's right, because everybody wants to make sure it's right.
Right. And finding the right dream for Black Series is as important as finding those dreams for Vintage Collection. Yeah. I think it's been the Vintage Collection community has been very vocal for a long time on dream projects of theirs. So we've had a couple that have been very naturals. So, yeah, let's keep talking and we'll figure something out. Yeah.
Laughing Place, Mike.
Okay, regarding the Clone Trooper announcements from a couple weeks ago, can you, kind of a two-part question here, can you talk about how these would make good kind of troop builder figures, and then on the opposite side, what makes each of these figures unique on their own?
Well, yeah, for those, the Vintage Collection releases, the new pack offers clones that use the latest, more articulated clone body that we've done, but they also have a great new updated helmet design. So we saw some comments on a previous helmet of those. We went back and tweaked it. These have that update. They are non-removable helmets on these. So we're able to do a very in-scale approach on the Vintage Collection ones. So great stuff that way. For the announcements for Black Series, it's very much the same sort of thing. It's the new body of the Clone Trooper So a way to get those out for people again, to get more of those in the collection and really build those troops up.
Thank you. Adventures in Collecting, Eric.
So in previous conversations with the team, you guys have mentioned that you're committed to world building for the Vintage Collection with playsets and vehicles, but we haven't had an announcement for any playsets since that Endor bunker. Can we expect more playsets in 2024? And if so, tell us a little bit about how you go about selecting which environments to pull these playsets from.
Yeah, so I would say, we can't talk about anything that has been real, as you know, but playsets is absolutely not off the table, especially for the Vintage Collection, where we know that world building is so important to the community. So it's just stay tuned in terms of like what could potentially come down the pipeline and could be announced in the future. In terms of where we pull from, it's a mix of different things. It's the same thing as what we do for figures in terms of like what's in demand, what are the community telling us that they want to see, what could show up on screen, is it relevant, like Mandalorian during Mando season 3, things like that, like just what makes sense for that moment, what makes sense for the community, and balancing that for when we can get it out in time. So all of that comes into mind. So for the Vintage Collection, it could be newer, older entertainment. Nothing's really off the table.
Yeah, and I think we've seen some stuff that works. It's nice to kind of understand the world a little bit when we do one of those, so that you know how those playsets fit into a larger world, and we can build out elements around it to support that. I mean, like we did with the bunker in Return of the Jedi, we had a lot of other world-building stuff that kind of supported that and built a kind of a whole scene. I think that's important too, and to kind of understand and have those other elements to help inform that.
Yeah, I mean, some of the modular nature of the playsets you guys have done in the past have been really great, like especially like the the Tantive 4 hallway. I mean, that thing is just awesome because you can flip it around and turn it into different things. Yep. And it kind of just becomes one of those like Star Wars dioramas. It doesn't necessarily need to be that ship.
That particular one is that's our cornerstone of what we compare all of our playsets to is can it fulfill the same sort of promise that one did?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, Emily did a great job with that. And I think it was so fun to be able to build the modularity in for that one specifically. So, it's good to hear feedback and it's good to hear from the community what they want to see. But it's definitely not off the table in terms of what we can do more of in the future.
Awesome. Yeah. Would love an Imperial version of that. Just some Imperial hallways. Call it, Star Destroyer interior or something. Yeah. It'd be really cool.
Thank you. Thanks for the feedback. All right. Star Wars Collector, Dan.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the fan channel exclusive Black Series Coyote Monday figure? It was announced back in February and pre-orders never took place or anything. And a couple of them already showed up on some auction sites. Are we going to see them anytime soon?
Yeah, that one was a funny one. It was announced really early, and it's definitely still coming. And sorry, there was no pre-order for that, but it's actually tracking for later next year, I guess, because we're at the end of 23. That's insane. But yeah, we're thinking about it's probably coming towards currently tracking towards summer of 24. So at that point, fans will start seeing it. But yeah, it's definitely coming. I know fans were really excited about that. And it's one of those things that feel super early. But hopefully everyone will get a chance to get that in hand pretty soon.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
Bantha Tracks, Mark.
Bit of a sidestep question, hopefully not unwelcome. Can we expect or anticipate any more Indiana Jones releases in 6-inch or 3¾?
Oh, yeah, we don't have anything to announce. We love the lines we did, and the success of them will drive future stuff. I think Patrick mentioned previously that for the new stuff, we made a conscious decision not to do the 3¾-inch line because we wanted to lean into Black Series scale and that 6-inch stuff. So I wouldn't think that if we would go forward with more, that we would go back on that and do 3¾. I would think it would be more 6-inch stuff, but again, nothing to announce on that.
All right. Laughing place, Mike.
So you guys recently announced the droid R46D0 from The Mandalorian, which is a relatively obscure background character from the show. I love seeing the more background and side characters coming out in the Black series, which tends to favor the central characters. But I'm curious, like, what is the selection process for those type of more obscure characters? Like, how did you go about picking R460 and not like another droid or another side or obscure character from that series?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one that was, we kind of had it in our heads that we wanted to do a droid, and we had been playing with our new R2 body, the larger one, hadn't done an R4 head yet for that at the time. And that was that showed up in our reference deliveries from Lucasfilm early on as a main character's companion droid. So it made a lot of sense with all that color and stuff on him as a way to do something new. I think that one was also an exclusive, if I remember right.
I think it's a Walmart.
And it answered a request to have kind of new and exclusive stuff for that exclusive retailer. So it was kind of all these things coming together and really a way to get a new fun droid in there. So, I mean, that's the story on that one, but it's a similar thing every time. Trying to weave the perfect tapestry of answering a retailer's request, answering fan requests, working with the reference we have and building things to just make a more complete kind of offering for everybody.
Great. Love to see more supporting characters.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Adventures in Collecting, Eric.
So, with the success of the last two, you know, kind of single pilot vehicles and, you know, Antok Merrick's X-Wing and the N1 Starfighter being, you know, such popular releases, what would you guys say that means for, you know, vehicles of the same or similar class, you know, going forward?
Well, I think it's a safe presumption that we will continue doing vehicles. The specifics of that we'll get into as we have more to reveal. But vehicles are and will continue, I suspect, to be a large part of any Star Wars show. So, I mean, happy to play in that world. I love it. It's one of my own passions. I get to work on those things. So, yeah. Really delivering that kind of detail and continuing the legacy of former designers from Kenner, like Mark and others in those vehicles is really important to us.
And without kind of spoiling anything, you know, what's your favorite vehicle? Like if you could snap your fingers and work on a Star Wars vehicle tomorrow, you know, what would it be?
Things that I haven't worked on.
Yeah.
I think as a dream thing for me would be a sandcrawler, figuring out how to do a sandcrawler that is remotely approachable for everybody would be fun. But I personally just love the construction of that and kind of the background of it. But all the vehicles I've gotten to work on, the N1 was a blast. I mean, Razor Crest, the Ghost, like those things are just those. Any one of those is a once in a career sort of thing. And then it has just been the continual rhythm of those things, thanks to the great shows we're getting. So I've already done my dream projects. I get to continue doing more.
That's awesome. And I'm sure it's amazing getting to work with like all the reference materials and like, you know, seeing kind of the guts and nuts and bolts and stuff from Lucasfilm. It's the vehicle, you know, lore is just so awesome.
Yeah, agreed.
You guys are playing to Chris's tune because as the designer for those vehicles, like it's good to see the success for the N1, for example, and like Razor Crest goes all of those because it's definitely hugely important.
There you go.
Actually, I have one too, sitting back there, and Chris is probably like here.
Oh, mine's up top. You got to go higher to get that one. It's up there.
I'm a vehicle nut.
Next to my AT-AT, yeah.
Yeah, it gives you all that room to play with, like making fun things in the walls and things like that. Anyways, Star Wars Collector, Dan.
I think you guys touched on the subject before about the oversized vintage collection helmets on Troopers and Mandalorians. Are you guys going to give up on the removable helmets and just have interchangeable heads?
No, it's not going to be one or the other. I mean, both are viable options for going forward. Mm-hmm. And I know there are, it's a passionate discussion and everybody on both sides of the fence thinks their way is the perfect way.
Yeah.
So we don't want to say like one way is right and one way is wrong. I mean, we love both, and they just have different play and posability and all of those sorts of things. So we'll continue to do both, I would say. And sometimes we'll prioritize a removable helmet versus a swappable, but it's not a hard and fast line one way or the other.
Yeah, and it's a really passionate discussion in the community. So I think definitely like continue to let us know what the fans want to see, because we definitely want to hear about it as well from you guys.
Yeah.
FanthaTrax.
Recently, you've had some packaging changes. So presumably, and it is a presumption, those figures that were released, let's say, without plastic packaging at all, will get re-released in the future for new collectors to purchase and such. But people who've bought them before, will there be any deco changes? Will there be any accessories added, basically to make it, and I'm waggling the air quotes, worth those collectors' while to buy it again? Because, of course, collectors want to have every iteration and every version. We know this, but are there any additional little sweeteners in there that makes it really very much worth their while?
There's no specific plans to just go back and anything that was released without plastic to re-release. Re-releases are part of what we do, though. Generally speaking, those would just be a straight pack refresh into the new style package without those additions. But I think it's good thinking, and we like to find reasons for those things to be a meaningful purchase for people. So like you were saying, accessories, we don't want to just throw in an accessory, because that feels like asking somebody to buy a figure to get an accessory. That feels weird too. But finding a way to make new releases of those characters meaningful to people is really the key to that, or making something that's hard to get more accessible for people. So those are the kind of concerns. And if, like I was saying, if we would release a figure that came out only in plastic-free package, it would now get the update into the current style packaging. But there's not a plan to just go back and redo all of those figures. I hope that answers the questions. Did I get them?
It does. It's an awkward question, but one of our readers put it in, so I thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Thank you for asking it. All right, Laughing Place, Mike.
Can you guys talk about the Holocom collection? How do you feel that that's been received? And is there anything you'd like to highlight about that series that maybe people don't realize?
It's a new execution that we thought would be like super fun to do, because it's like so key to Star Wars lore too, those Holocoms. So we're always looking for opportunities like that. Chris, do you want to add in anything?
Yeah, and I think that it was something we thought would be really fun, and it kind of came out of some other brainstorming and just really made a lot of sense to us. Like I think the response to those has been pretty good. So for me, it's a really great way to display a figure. And I don't know if you've played with them, but even a figure without it being cleared displays great on those little hologram bases. So I think it's fun to see that. We were experimenting, and it kind of made sense to answer some of our own challenges to ourselves, like, hey, what can we do? How can we plus this up and make something cool and unique?
The different lighting modes, for example, the team talked quite a bit about that. And I think, honestly, what came about also is just like, man, us as fans on the team was like, it'd be so cool if we could have a hologrammed figure sitting on the show. Yeah, so.
Well, and I think, too, when we were doing that, it was coming out of the show when we were, like, bounties. I mean, that's kind of how we meet the Mandalorian is a whole bounty thing. So thinking of those figures as kind of FOMO figures or chase figures, and kind of the figures themselves for fans are kind of a bounty, and playing into that and throwing a bounty value on them in universe kind of thing. It was all a fun way to play.
Thanks.
Adventures in Collecting, Eric.
So before I get to, I had a fun holiday question for you guys, but something just kind of popped into my feed from some of our followers. So if you don't mind, if I ask one question that that wasn't on my list, it involves the two of the new Black Series releases, so the Shin Hati and Balin Skull figures. A lot of people are concerned about kind of the height discrepancy with those. If you could just, in the design process, how do you guys determine when you're, designing these figures, how they kind of scale to the talent or the actor's height in real life?
Well, with that sort of thing, we usually have scan data from the production, from our partners at Lucasfilm. So we know exactly how they are, relative to each other. And sometimes we'll take that and if it feels very divergent from what feels right, sometimes we'll tweak that a little bit just to compress scale so that like the tallest character and the smallest character can change a little bit to get closer to each other. But we try and be very authentic across the lines. TVC, just because of the nature of its scale in general, tends to see a little more compression. But even there, we're trying to be pretty good. It's not like the old days of Kenner where there wasn't scale reference and you saw a picture and kind of guessed at how big something was. I mean, classic is Snaggletooth from the original Kenner line. And thankfully, for so many reasons, we are gone from a day where we get two photos of a character's mask and that's it. Now we have a wealth of info to work from. And sometimes like we get reference images of characters standing next to a height stick. So we can tell that we get scan data in most cases of the actors on set in costume. So all that kind of comes together to really develop the scale.
Yeah. I guess also, Eric, to answer that question is we have all these references for sure. Like that, sometimes are early, sometimes, whatever it is in the process. But if there's feedback on specific items, like, we'd love to, in general, we hear about them and we definitely also just pay attention and keep in mind for the future as well.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
And I'll preface all of those comments by saying we are human and we will make mistakes. Yeah. Please call us on it and let us know and we will do what we can to fix things. We have more info and more ability to make less mistakes than ever. But like I said, we're human. We make mistakes.
I'm Brian Herring, BB-8 Puppeteer, and you're listening to Fantatracks. That'll learn you.
Star Wars Collector.
The re-released Black Series Clone Commander Bly figure, did you guys fix the paint up on his chin?
That figure is just a straight re-release, so it'll have this. It'll be the same as the previous versions without that detail. That was something that the team just missed years ago. We're aware of it, but that's one that Mark's earlier question about re-releases and that sort of thing. It didn't feel like a meaningful update, but it was making that figure available again to people who didn't get him the first time. So not wanting to get, making that change and then feeling like people would have to buy a second version of that figure felt a little too close to the edge. So bringing him back out as he was felt like the more right call there. But we'll look at that for future stuff.
Thank you.
Fantatrax, Mark.
I've got a retro collection question, but it's a bit of a vanilla question. But as we've been talking, another kind of questions come to mind. Obviously, the original sculpts or the modern versions of, if that makes sense. And so you put out a wave of Star Wars Empire or Jedi or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But when you do new figures, a Mando wave, an Ahsoka wave, a Book of Boba wave, whatever, when you look at the original figures from back in the day, there's a distinct difference between, let's say, a Han Solo from Star Wars, a Han Solo from Empire and Jedi. The quality of sculpt seems to progress as it moves on. With the retro collection new sculpts that you would do, what iteration of those three films would you describe your level of sculpt at, if that makes any sense?
Because it absolutely does. Like, I have a clear answer for you, and that is, when I approach these things, the aesthetic is tail end of Empire, beginning of Jedi, that era. It's a slightly more evolved state of sculpting and detail than we saw with those very early New Hope figures. But it's, I feel like at the end of like the Power of the Force stuff, it got very far into, it was a more modern figure. And I feel like it's still classic Kenner, but it's not as core classic Kenner in my head. So my direction has been as I'm working on those to look at that kind of late Empire era stuff. And I think there'll be figure examples that I'll play with from earlier or later to try and push things a little bit and like, oh, hey, well, technically we can do this and we can do that. I think you guys will see on the episode one figures that just came out today, the images of, we did some of that stuff where the battle droid in there has thinner legs and we've done some stuff on him that is more reminiscent of like Eve 99 and some of the later figures. But that's part of that's just because we didn't want to get him so stylized. We wanted him to still feel kind of right. It's just kind of having the knowledge of all that stuff and navigating the pathway, picking apples off the right trees as we go.
Brilliant.
Great. All right. Thank you, everyone. I think those are the questions from everyone. I will say that if you haven't already, go to StarWars.com and check out the new Gift the Galaxy reveals from earlier today. They're so fun and a great celebration to the prequels. But yeah, from there, you know, thank you again for spending time with us. And we love to talk Star Wars, and having an opportunity to do it with you guys right before the holidays is definitely a treat. So for everyone out there, whatever you're doing, happy holidays. And we definitely hope to talk to you soon in the new year.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, guys. Always fun.
So thanks for listening to Collecting Tracks. If you want to be part of the action, stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news, visit FanthaTracks.com or check out the free FanthaTracks app through the App Store to follow us on your mobile device. You can reach out to us and send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fanthatracks.com. Comment, like and share on any of our social media feeds at FanthaTracks. And be sure to subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Semple for composing the FanthaTracks intro, Andy Lyth for our Collecting Tracks open music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Remember to tune in to Good Morning Tatooine live Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Pacific on Facebook and YouTube. Check out FanthaTracks Radio Friday evenings at 7 p.m. UK time for new episodes of The Fantha from Down Under, Planet Leia, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks and Cannon Fodder, and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks.
Coming up next on FanthaTracks Radio, it's Making Tracks.